Before we dive into today's podcast, this episode is sponsored by Rebuy, an end-to-end personalization platform for Shopify and Shopify Plus stores. Now, personalizing your Shopify store isn't a nice to have. It's definitely a must. You know, did you know that over 75% of online shoppers are more inclined to buy from brands that offer a personalized shopping experience? You know, it's no surprise then that stores that embrace personalization, they see significant boosts in conversion rates and average order value and even customer lifetime value. So if you're looking for the simplest and most effective way to deliver smart, tailored experiences to your Shopify customers, look no further than Rebuy. This is a powerful platform and has a suite of game-changing features. A few that I love: AI-powered smart search is really there to help shoppers find exactly what they need. They also have precise and well-timed product recommendations. Really, that's there to increase your cart size. And the best part, I love their smart cart. It's stunning and intelligent shopping cart experience. I would say it's market-leading. It's the best. You know, and with results like this, it's clear why more than 10,000 of the fastest Shopify stores have already turned to Rebuy to wow their customers and skyrocket their sales. So don't miss out on the personalization revolution, because it's happening right now. And as a special guest to e-commerce Fastlane listeners, Rebuy is offering the first 45 days absolutely free. And all you have to do is go to rebuyengine.com/Fastlane. And there you can sign up and get going on this platform absolutely free.
You're listening to E-commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company, powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Hey there, welcome back to E-commerce Fastlane. I'm your host, Steve Hutt. You know, thank you so much for coming today. You know, it's so interesting how many podcasts are out there. It's incredible. I actually went to a tool that I use that kind of tells me how many podcasts are live. And the global rank right now, there's over 3.3 million podcasts worldwide. And I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the next 30 minutes or so and listening to this episode. A very interesting episode. A good friend of mine, his name is Chase Clymer. He's the founder of a company called Electric Eye, and they're electriceye.io. They also have a podcast, which I love. It's called Honest E-commerce. I had a little peek too. Listen Notes is a tool that I use. I had a peek just before recording, and they're in the top 5% of those podcasts worldwide. So it's incredible. 3.3 million shows, and his show, Honest E-commerce, is in the top 5%. It proves that he's actually offering a lot of value to the market. People are listening and re-listening and subscribing. So it's exciting. So we have a great episode today. A lot of things we're going to talk about today about migrations. I think we're going to talk about some redesign things and some optimization things. Chase, this is episode number 2 for you. And believe it or not, the last time you were on the show was January of 21. But welcome back.
I'm so excited to be here, Steve. I do not remember our last conversation, to be completely honest. Yeah. This is all I'm about. I'm about being honest with people. But I do remember having a lot of fun. And I remember us talking way too much before and after about all the nerdy stuff that excites us. So I'm excited to share that passion on this episode with everyone listening.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just had a peek of it too. And we talked a few things about like design and marketing, kind of some case studies. And we talked about, you know, old school when you were going down the Facebook and Instagram ad course kind of thing that Shopify had. And it was so interesting. But today I want to kind of unpack a little bit about, since you're merchant facing and you get a lot of calls, you get, you know, DMs on social, you have your podcast, you're getting some feedback in the market about kind of what's going on, what's the pulse of the market right now. So I think that's the challenge people have, is that there's a lot of different things going on right now, but I think you, just being boots on the ground, you have a couple good themes in mind about, well, what are people talking about, and then how are you able to kind of direct them either with a done-for-you service or offering them a resource. So let's talk about the migration path first, because I think that's one topic that I get to, is like, hey, I'm currently on WooCommerce, or I'm currently on, you know, BigCommerce or other different platforms, and or even old school, like just Adobe stuff and Magento. And they're finding some challenges of all the problems of having to self-host and not having Shop Pay as the accelerated checkout option. So let's talk about the migrations and kind of what you guys are doing and how easy or how scary it can be if it's not done right.
Absolutely. I would say that migrations are one of our specialties at the agency, mostly just because we kept finding ourselves coming in and fixing things after they went wrong when people got kind of oversold by someone that didn't really know what they were doing. So this kind of made us look back and think on like all the migrations that we'd done and just really make our process really, really good. I mean, one of the biggest tools out there to assist with migrations is Matrixify. And we're like one of the few partners that's listed on there as a migration expert as well. So, you know, I do think I have a little bit of expertise here when it comes to the correct way to approach migration. But first, I think it's important to point out that migrating to a different platform will not solve an underlying business problem.
I know where you're going with this. Yes.
So what I mean by that is it's the first question I ask people when they reach out and they're like, hey, we're thinking about migrating from X platform to Shopify, because that's all we do. We only work on Shopify. And the only reason we'll touch something else is to take you to Shopify. But they're like, hey, we want to migrate from X to Y being Shopify. And we kind of get into it. I'm like, so what are you looking like? What's the business use case or the business reason behind this? And what I'm trying to find is not that they... An answer like this won't work, which is like, oh, I heard Shopify is better, so I just want to copy and paste our current design and how our website works absolutely to Shopify, and it should make more money. Mm. Usually not the case.
Okay.
For a million reasons. Yep. First one being, you can't copy and paste it.
True.
There's just, every CMS out there is inherently like a different technical structure. Mm-hmm. So none of that stuff will copy and paste at all.
Right.
You know, so you basically have to rebuild everything. There's a bunch of SEO implications within mm-hmm. this rebuilding process with how URLs are structured. There's so much weird stuff that happens within like your existing store data and how that data is archetyped. Even if you have access to, a CSV or like a database file, you have to transform all of that information from the source to how Shopify wants it to come in. And there's a whole bunch of weird edge case stuff. You have to problem solve for that. Setting up a Shopify store is a pain in the butt. You got to do that for people. And then we kind of get into the UX of it as well. And it's back to what I said just a second ago. Like, you can't copy and paste a design. They're inherently different. So when you're doing a migration, you are probably also doing a redesign, unless you have a good argument for why you shouldn't do a redesign. And you should understand that whatever custom design you're inheriting from your old site, even if it was a templated design that performs well for you for your old platform, it is now going to be a custom design on Shopify because that template doesn't exist in both ecosystems.
Right.
And so there's just a lot of moving parts that goes into a migration. I just rambled for...
Yeah, no. And I think that's powerful. I wrote something else down that I think it's important that I know you do. It's like, how do we deal with legacy order history from the previous CMS? And then how do we deal with customer accounts? Because people used to have either existing logins or they were anonymous or they were just guests. It depends on the original platform. So how are you handling all of the legacy data and how does that get into Shopify, or does it? And then how do we deal with when, you know, on launch day to saying, oh, wow, we're on a new platform and see our new shiny website. And oh, by the way, you can't log in anymore. Or here's a special link you have to do to kind of recreate your new link. Because I know this can be a challenge because I've actually helped with a replatforming to a different subscription company. And when you have different authentication tokens set up on one, let's say Recharge, and you're moving over to Order Groove, let's say, for example, it is a nightmare trying to export out pre-auths, financial things, so that, you know, these existing subs continue on even though they're on a new platform. So just want your feedback on how we deal with legacy order data and then how do we deal with customers and customer accounts.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, something that's like, I got to say it now because I didn't say it. Migrations are the single hardest and most time-consuming project you will ever take on for your business.
Right.
you cannot rush this, because if you do, you're going to make mistakes, and that could be detrimental to your customer experience, which is going to be detrimental to your bank account. So you asked, how do we kind of consider this data? We do a lot of exploration beforehand. So first thing we're doing is, how do we get access to the data? Every platform is different. How you gain access to the data, how that data needs to be transformed from the source to Shopify is different. And even beyond, it's like, oh, we've done a bunch of migrations from WooCommerce to Shopify, right? So we should have efficiencies there in transforming this data, you'd assume, correct?
Yes, you assume that.
Well, here's the thing. You can put your data into your source WooCommerce store however the heck you want. So the script I wrote for brand A won't work for brand B, because they give you the freedom to use these CMSs however you see fit. There isn't one right way to use them either. So all of this historical data is in a format that is unique usually, and you get access to it in oddly specific different ways. And so you got to get the customer list, the customer orders. You got to get the discount codes is one that people oftentimes overlook. You got to pull all of this data out of the source thing, and then you have to build, you know, conversions for it to convert the data from how it is to how Shopify wants it. You got to import it and test it. It probably isn't right the first time. You got to tweak all that stuff. You got to solve those edge cases. And so this is just the data. We haven't even built the website yet. We're doing all this work. Yeah. And so you do all this stuff. And so basically, usually what we do is we have an export right when the project gets started. Like, we're starting design, we're also exporting all this data in the background.
Right.
And then we're figuring out these transformations, and we're going to do like a test import, which is good. Like, A, we need some dummy data in this store anyway for the design to kind of work.
Right.
But we're also seeing like how far off was our guess on this, like how this transformation needs to go on this data manipulation. Usually we get pretty close, but there's always stuff you got to work out. You solve it. And then what happens is, towards launch, you guys, everyone involved in the project has to agree when you want to go live with the store. So they'll usually be like, we'll import as much data as we can, probably up until like a week before. And then we'll just call that we'll call that date. We'll just draw a line in the sand there. So all of that historical data we figured out. And now that we push that over into the new Shopify store, and then, you know, we put it live on a Monday or a Tuesday. Those days are very important to put it live for, because you don't do it on a Friday. You never push anything on a Friday.
No.
So we're going to launch this thing. Usually Tuesday morning, it's like at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when we want to push your new site live.
You're right.
Set up all the redirects. It does whatever it wants for the first hour, and everyone goes crazy. And then the redirects start to work finally. And the new Shopify store is live. And so there'll be like this delta between, you know, the last Friday when we pull the data out and like all the orders over the weekend. And like, there'll be this time where you set your name server with your URL. Like, you know, let's say steveshats.com, you know, we migrated you and we redirected it to Shopify. And everything says it's correct, but the way the internet works, it's all bandages and like staples, and it just doesn't work right. So some ISPs will update faster than other ISPs. So like on your cell phone, you'll see the new experience, but on your computer, you'll see the old experience still. There's just like this weird la la land that just exists during migration projects for like that first time. But then everything works itself out. So you do the final migration and kind of get everything over. And that was a very long explanation on just the data part of it.
Yeah. You know, I guess the reason why that I wanted to have you explain it a bit, at least some of the TLDRs around it, is the fact that it is a really complex thing. I've been around those processes with a lot of brands over my years in commerce, and you're right about not rushing it. And every project is different. There are some, I say, economies of scale here, you know, through your agency, because you've done a lot of them. And so been there, done that, but there's always something new that can crop up. And the idea is that you're more of a partner, really, to kind of, let's do some test data first. Let's see what we have. We'll make a cutoff point. We're going to do the full migration on this date at this time, after the first day's orders are, you know, the last day orders are going out on the old platform. And, you know, there's going to be this little bit of, I agree with you, this little middle ground. I mean, it's even like the podcast. I changed an audio file on my podcast. You think it would go live instantly with an RSS feed? Nope. Everybody has their own ways of crawling and caching. Shopify is the same way. I think they're using Cloudflare, I think, is their content delivery network around the world. But who knows how quickly that gets updated in real time with 5 million stores. Even though your store is, you know, you're one of the 5 million, still, you know, there's going to be a delay between a lot of that. And, you know, you're right. Mobile experience can be different sometimes than desktop experience after you push live. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And we didn't even get to talking about like the difference between the functionality and the UX stuff. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, while you're dealing with all this data stuff, the way that your old store did something may not be the way your new store does something. And you need to be okay with that. You need to trust whoever you're partnering with on their recommendation to solve for functionalities, because Shopify likes to do things the way Shopify likes to do things. Yeah. It may not necessarily be the way that Magento did or Squarespace or WooCommerce.
Right.
And that, I feel like sometimes that's a sticking point where we really have to educate the merchant. It's just like, just because that was the process in the past doesn't mean that needs to be the process now. And at the end of the day, the experience is roughly the same. So be open to those things changing. If you have on your old website, like you had some pretty heavy customizations, re-engineering that on the new website is going to take time as well. There's just like all these considerations on the extended functionality that you want to give your customer. Like all those things have to be solved for within this project as well.
And then I found too that there was two different trains of thought around the design elements so we got the data stuff kind of ported over. And then I can appreciate some custom issues that can happen depending on, you know, you have some embroidering option or some special custom things that are, you know, were built into your old site. We can kind of solve those kind of things like one-offs. But then the thought is that, do we go with like Dawn as a default theme, like a default Shopify instance? And then do we start creating Figma or some kind of a, you know, Photoshop kind of design, UX designs of all of the main key pages, the homepage, collection page, product page. And we say, okay, here's the look and feel that we're thinking of. Or are you finding some people say, no, the lower priced kind of migration path is to buy a premium theme for $300 to $500 from a reputable theme developer. There's, you know, about 4 or 5 of them that are like the key players in Shopify's world. Do you buy one of those, and then does your team then reskin that up and add a few extra bells and whistles based on the use case of the client? I just want to get your feedback about fully custom with a default install of Shopify, or do you think maybe there's an option of going with a premium theme and kind of reskinning it?
I have an opinion here, of course.
Okay, good. I love that.
All right. So where we exist in the ecosystem, we're usually working with 7 to low 8-figure brands. With that being said, I think that a fully custom design is a waste of money unless you're doing over $10 million a year. And I can go into a little bit more detail, but basically it's usually intensive from a resource perspective, from a time investment from a founder to get quote unquote a custom UX. Unless you have like a super luxury product or a reason your UX needs to be extremely custom, I don't see the advantage of going that route than using, like you said before, something a little more off the shelf to solve for kind of those generic UX patterns of what an e-commerce website should look like. Walmart, Target, Amazon, they've all trained us how to buy stuff online and what the familiar patterns of a website should be. And so I find it difficult to spend 3 months on a design phase of a project, another 3 to 6 months developing that custom design to launch something that's well into the six figures from an investment standpoint, that's fully custom for a merchant that, you know, basically just spent almost half of their profit for the year on this custom experience. And they could have got the same exact result in less than a third of the time for less than a third of the budget.
Right. I would agree with you on a lot of this, because I think a lot of stores that I see that are quite successful, they, you know, let's talk Turbo first. I mean, Turbo is like the most popular kind of a theme ever been developed, and it is what it is. And even though you say, well, there's a lot of similarities saying, oh, that looks like a Shopify store. Okay, fair enough. But at the end of the day, do you have product market fit? Do you have social proof around your product? If you already have all of these elements, on your old CMS and you're migrating over and you just happen to go with the most popular turbo, fair enough. It's you can still reskin it and add things like a personalization solution kind of baked into the solution. You can add all the new, as you know, all the stuff, these checkout extensions that are available now and how you can, especially on the plus side, where you can really get into the code now and really personalize the checkout experience that's very unique to your brand. So even though maybe sometimes people can say, oh, this kind of looks like a Shopify store. Okay. Cause there's one or two themes that are like ridiculously overused, but there's also some really beautiful other themes that are out there from the same developers that have proven the UX already. And they have a lot of case studies underneath. When you go to the app store or sort of the theme store, you'll see links to other really successful direct-to-consumer brands and this theme choice, whatever that is. And so it's proven, it works. And then as theme developers get more experience, they get to learn about what's best practice when it comes to UX and conversion optimization and what's the checkout flow look like and all that. So,
absolutely. I should probably clarify my opinion a little bit though. I'm saying custom, fully custom. And the word custom means from scratch.
Right.
This means that you're starting from zero on design and you're starting from zero on development. Now, where I do think brands that have product market fit, Steve, which I would say, I mean, if you're doing over $1 million a year, you're doing something right. You probably know where your customers are and the leverage you can pull to grow the business.
Right.
So I'd argue you probably have product market fit at that point. Now, I'd say like, so if you're in this range, you know, between 1 and 10 million, there's a point where you should potentially explore a more customized approach,
right,
which would be still taking an off-the-shelf theme from a Maestro or, you know, an Archetype or Out of the Sandbox, you know, one of these major players, and customizing it to your needs. So what I mean there is you're going to take what the product page looks like out of the box, pull that into Figma. There's awesome plugins. HTML design could just pull that right into Figma for you. Mm-hmm. Have your designers now tweak from that starting place. You're already weeks ahead of the game. And then using this as the starting point for how you're going to approach this customized design allows all of the integrations in QA that have been developed into that core theme over the past couple of years of it being launched are now going to be in your website as well, versus a custom website where it's going to be so buggy, you have no idea. Like that is, I cannot understate just that element of the development process.
Yeah.
but B, it's, you know, there's like the cool stuff that happens within developing things, like the delayed image loads and the animations and stuff. Those can get inherited into your more customized design by using a more robust theme work as a starting place. Also, I think like a lot of people, when they do go the custom route, they get upset is the only way I can describe it later on when they make assumptions that they'll have all these sections built into their theme. And if it wasn't designed, it wasn't developed, and it's not going to be there later.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. You know what? I'm thinking about the optimization side of this. So now a brand's made a decision. They have migrated over. Now they're on Shopify. They either went fully custom, or I would agree with you on getting off the shelf and archetyping, kind of reskinning that, and off you go. So what happens next after launch? And I think the original thought is, well, I'm going to move to Shopify because it's instantly going to be better. Well, it's going to be instantly better in a little bit of ways because number one, you're getting a more UX and conversion focused theme, number one. And number two, you get like the best converting checkout in the world because you're giving your customers now access to Shop Pay. And Shop Pay is the fastest, best kind of accelerated option for buying. And it connects nicely with the Shop app. And all these things just kind of work well together. What do you think some of the next steps are from an optimization perspective? Once a site launches, like what sort of things are you looking for? And then how do you improve that site?
Absolutely. So I'm going to answer this from two different kind of common use cases of customers, or I guess we call them clients. You guys are clients that work with our agency, right?
Right.
So the first one would be like, we did the migration project. You know, why isn't it the best thing in the world? Because no one's a genius. Like things work or they don't, and you're going to figure it out. So how do you do that? Right. So you just worked with a partner. You migrated over from WooCommerce to Shopify. And at the end of the day, you're loving it, right? You're enjoying your new site. it's easier for you to manage from like a technical perspective. Your team likes it. Things make more sense. It's not as buggy.
Right.
But you know, everything can always be better. That's just how life works.
Right.
So what I would do is I would immediately install some sort of heat mapping software. Hotjar is the number one player in the space.
Okay.
There's, you know, Lucky Orange, but I'm a big fan of heatmap.com because they have integrated revenue numbers into your heat maps and customer recordings, which is such a just smart idea.
Yeah.
So it'll tell you what parts of your website are making you money. And then also you can see which parts of your websites kind of don't matter or not making you money.
Yeah.
So that helps you with ideating and theorizing stuff for split tests and building out, you know, a hypothesis is to test on your website. So you install some heat maps. What else you can do? Customer recordings, review those, see where your website might be broken. Within your analytics, you can see where maybe you're having potential fall-offs on certain technologies or certain screen sizes. So that gives you some things to explore to look and see if there's things that need to be fixed there. You can actually like hire people to explore your website and do actual user testings to kind of see and look for opportunities there. But just ask your customers. I mean, your customers are going to tell you what's wrong 9 times out of 10 as well. So there's a bunch of areas to get ideas to test stuff. And so once you have these ideas, you can prioritize them using something kind of like the ICE method. So it's like impact, like how, I forget what C stands for, but it's like how much you think it's actually going to work, right, and then ease of that thing. So you kind of rank everything out and then it will kind of show you which ones you should actually do for a test. That ICE thing is like super common in CRO. And then now you have your tests and you start to kind of launch some tests and see if you're going to get kind of an increase in whatever KPI you're going for. As far as like CRO goes for e-commerce, Josh Frank taught me a lot of this stuff. And I would like say bigger tests are better. So what that means is like testing a button color being purple or green, not going to do anything. Right. But if you're gonna like really take this seriously, and you notice a lot of customers are having like you're getting a lot of customers to a certain products page, and they're adding it to cart and they're abandoning, and you do some research and you find out, oh, it's because they, you know, aren't sure if it's gonna get there by a certain time. Maybe you need to add to the product page kind of like a shipping guarantee and like a date projection. And then you can split that. You can test that version of that page against the control using, you know, there's a bunch of amazing split testing softwares out there right now. So we're huge, huge fans of IntelliGems. Mm-hmm. I think it's the coolest one in the Shopify ecosystem. And you can run a split test that way and it will tell you the exact lift when you hit a statistical significance that you're okay with. You can even set that number, which is really cool. And it'll show you the impact from a conversion perspective, from like an actual money to be made that month to that year as well. It's very, very powerful.
All right. So now we got that part out of the way. I want to think the next thing is tech stack. Because I think one thing about Shopify, they have a, you know, an incredible partner ecosystem. And I think, you know, Harley, right from the beginning, the president now of Shopify, and what that was, he calls that one of his claim to fame is the fact that, you know, the bulk of the revenue of partners in the ecosystem, the bulk of the money is actually going to them. And the first $1 million that partners can make by having an app or a connected marketing platform, the first $1 million in profit, actually they get to keep, and Shopify gets $0 because they know that the benefits of Shopify working with partners, because there's certain functionality that are, I think Shopify, you know, builds for the 80%, but it's that extra 20% that has to be filled in with an app of some sort. And there's certain things Shopify is never going to build. And so that's the benefits of maybe the partner ecosystem. And so I have my own kind of little mini list of kind of apps and marketing platforms that I like to connect to, I think kind of post launch and post some tests and things that you've done to a website. I'd love to hear on your side. I mean, you made a comment about Matrixify. We know Maris, the founder, and he's been on. So that's a great tool for the migration part of it. But what about just overall just running the website now? If it's email or SMS or personalization engine, or I mean, there's lots of different things that you need.
We're so ingrained in the front end UX of websites and problem solving the stuff for merchants. So we are often the de facto, like is this app good or not? Is like what we're answering all the time. Right. So we do have a lot of preferred apps and a lot of awesome partners out there. And just like full transparency, some of these apps are partners and we get referral fees from them. Some of them I just think are awesome. I'm not going to differentiate it because I don't care to do that right now.
Yeah.
But for like, I'm just going to cut, I literally just have Slack open in front of me and the ones that we're good partners with, we have a shared channel with. So this is going to make this really easy.
Yeah.
For like upsells and cross sells and kind of personalization, huge fans of Rebuy and Aftersell, especially like the side cart in checkout and post purchase upsell experience.
Right.
Also, Gil has an amazing tool. He's a developer called Checkout Blocks that does like some crazy robust in checkout and post purchase upsell stuff. That is, I think, the number one optimization channel that we see as a consultant when we're doing like diagnostics for people is they just let people add the thing to their cart and then don't try to sell them anything else. And it's like, you're leaving so much money on the table there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tools like that, Aftersell or Rebuy, but also a lot of these themes just have upsells and cross sells kind of built into them now, or building like a certain thing is pretty dang easy. So those are super cool. Another one that I think is pretty awesome that I already talked about was Heatmap. It's kind of like Hotjar, if you're familiar with that, but it ties revenue to it. So it's so good for kind of just getting more data that you need for an e-commerce perspective.
Okay.
There's obviously so many players in the space now when it comes to subscriptions. Recharge is obviously the big one, but we've explored Smarter and Loop subscriptions and Stay AI lately. I think those are like powerful solutions if subscription is a big part of your stack.
Right.
Nostra and their edge delivery network is really wild.
Yeah.
Its price point is up there. I think you need to be a pretty successful business for it to make sense for you. But I would take them up on their offer to split test it. And to dumb down what they do, is basically Shopify's got their content delivery network all around America. Mm-hmm. And what Nostra does is they're putting their content delivery networks even closer to your end user than Shopify's are for the entirety of your website's assets, because Shopify only caches a few of them. Right. It's a really, really dumbed down version of what they do. Talk to them about it though.
I have a podcast recording. I actually had Darren Lemus on the show a couple of weeks ago. And like, he really talked about how the name of the episode, he came up with the name, but like speed sells, like how to turbocharge your Shopify site to skyrocket your profits. Because really that's the whole thing is like, he would get into the meat of it about, well, why does a fast site, I mean, I think it originally came down to Amazon talking about the revenue lift, like, you know, per point second or per point one of a second, what it means. It's so interesting. And then what he does with Nostra is quite interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a crazy product. Some other cool things out there. I think Postpilot does such a really, really cool job with like, they're sending out physical mail, but you can tie it to automations just like you'd see in like Klaviyo or Retention. Based upon like a customer's, not retention, but send lane, but like based upon a customer's unique journey, right? So you could set up, you know, if a customer hasn't bought from you in a year, you could send them a postcard that says, hey, I miss you.
Right.
Postpilot does that for you. I think that's pretty cool. Another app that's pretty cool, retention.com. If you're not using it, I don't know why you wouldn't be using it. It just de-anonymizes your visitors. You have to be in America to use it because it breaks the law everywhere else in the world. But in America, you can add more people to your list, which is always going to add more money to your list. And if you're a B2B company, they just launched Retention's B2B version and it was free when I installed it 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I'd look into that. It's pretty wild.
Right.
And then kind of, on the outside of that is like reporting and stuff like that. Triple Whale is an amazing tool. And then I know Taito does a really good job of creating custom reports for merchants kind of at scale. But yeah, that's like our short list of pretty cool apps.
Yeah. And there's so many. I think there's like 110 kind of Shopify Plus kind of certified apps. And I think there's over 6,000 other apps. I think it can be overwhelming. I do get DM'd a lot just saying, hey, you know, here's the business challenge we have, or here's the duct tape we have with so many apps. Is there one that kind of rolls up into a lot of these things? Like, we didn't get into things like loyalty yet. You know, that's another whole, you know, not done well by Shopify, but usually done by Smile or Loyalty Lion or, you know, there's some, I think whatever the challenge is, at least high level challenge, there's usually a solution to help with that. Even if you want to start digging into your influencer marketing challenges, like how are we acquiring and seeding them and growing that kind of the marketing side of the business.
That's a great segue because I forgot to say Social Snowball, but they're an awesome partner of ours as
well. There you go. I love them too. Yeah. See, I'm just looking at my homepage too at e-commerce Fastlane because I have a lot of like the biggies up there that I think are doing some really, really amazing work. I love Klaviyo. I'm still very bullish though too from an SMS side with Attentive and PostScript, which is, you know, exclusively for Shopify. So I think there's some really great partners out there in the email and the SMS space, which is necessary. I also find another tool that actually connects that just kind of one little last kind of show and tell here, is that there's a really neat tool that when you come to a website and you don't know who the customer is and you're trying to acquire their email or their SMS, there's a really neat tool out right now that what it does is it says, hey, it just knows when the best time to do a pop-up or an exit intent. It doesn't hit them hard right away, but it comes to the site and then all of a sudden it says, okay, hey, would you like 10% off or 15% off? Or would you like this PDF or this guide or this how-to or whatever? And you get that email address. But then if they've already gone down that journey of giving you your email address, then they say, hey, would you like 20% off? Oh, just add your phone number. And then the benefits here is that now you have both. And then it can even go even further. And maybe instead of a phone number, you say, hey, can I have your Instagram handle? And then it just starts growing your business because now you have an email address and or a social handle or both. And then it gives you some opportunity to be able to market to these people, right? So
absolutely. What app was that?
Oh, the name of the app is called Gatsby, and Brett Bernstein is the founder. He's been on a few times on our show. He's coming back on again. The platform just keeps iterating. So it's at Gatsby, GATSBY.AI. Really neat tool. Highly recommend you at least have a look at it. There's a free version. Really neat because if you get the Instagram handle or your TikTok handle, then all of a sudden it can look up in real time and find out the social footprint of that particular person. And then the brand owner or marketer can get a notification from the tool itself and saying, hey, this person has 50,000 followers or 100,000 followers. Maybe there's a partnership opportunity with this particular person who's not quite purchased yet, but maybe we'll send them stuff for free or we'll throw something extra in the box for them with a special handwritten note saying, hey, thanks so much for making a purchase today. Oh, and by the way, we have a partner program and we've given you some little bonus stuff in the box and we'd love to work with you. Or directly start, you know, DMing them because they're large enough to fit. So just want to share that really neat app.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is really cool. So it seems to me, besides looking at Electric Eye's website and just based on our conversation, it's clear that you're kind of going down this path of the CRO. We've kind of done the migration. We've tweaked it. We've organized it. We've got good tech stack and some recommendations. But now it's just like, okay, well, what's the next step? So I don't know if I can like open up the can of worms here, but it seems like you're doing a done for you service or something is starting to really kind of brew up. And so I kind of want to give you the floor to say, where are you at with kind of the next iteration of Electric Eye? And or is there going to be a whole new solution available for from a CRO perspective?
Yeah. I mean, we are launching a done for you conversion rate optimization service. Electric Eye is going to be behind it, but it's not going to be as full service as the agency or as white gloved. It's going to be more productized if you're kind of familiar with how all those things work for the more nerdier business entrepreneurs out there. Yeah. But basically, it's going to take what we've found working with merchants is like a lot of people will come to us and they've already done the migration or they already just redesigned and they just want to iteratively optimize their website at the end of the day. The conversations always go around like, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what we should fix. And then there's a bunch of strategies in doing that. You got like heuristic insights. You got what the analytics say. It's what your customers say. And there's ideas from everywhere. You prioritize those ideas and you just start doing stuff. Mm-hmm. No merchant has anyone on their team doing that. And even going as far as to say, it's like, I'll be like, when's the last time you ran a customer survey? Or when's the last time someone looked at your heat maps? And they're like, no one looks at those things. We just installed them and, you know, because we were told we were supposed to, right? So what we found is if we took all that off of the merchant's plate and we're just like, look, we're going to run tests for you all the time. Does that sound cool? They were super stoked. So this service is basically, it's strategy through development. We'll iteratively like kind of look at things for merchants and just keep testing and keep trying to increase the KPIs that we're looking to do. So this is, it's a pretty cool service for brands, but you have to have like the numbers to support it. You know, you need the enough conversions for you to get a statistically significant winner. Right, so we're talking probably you could do it a million plus with some caveats, but probably more 5 million plus a year is where this service would start to make a lot more sense for brands, just because you really do need that statistical significance to make these tests give you a winner. But basically what we're doing is we're partnering with brands and we're taking a look at their existing store. We're ideating. We're finding these ideas through various things, reviews, customer mining, asking your service reps on your team, asking you, like you can get ideas from anywhere.
Yeah.
We're building out split tests, right? You know, a lot of these things are going to be on product pages or landing pages or, you know, adding upsells and cross sells into the theme and testing that stuff out. And then we're powering all of this with IntelliGems. Like I said earlier, big partner of ours. We're probably going to be using Heatmap for a lot of it as well. That one that has revenue behind it.
Right.
It's just a done for you optimization service. So super proud of it. I guess I never said the name either. No. We own StoreTester.com. It's going to be its own brand. It's going to live there. And by the time this goes live, maybe we'll have a version of it live.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we believe in this thing so much. It's going to be productized. The pricing is going to be right there on the website. It's going to be super transparent. But we believe in this thing so much that we'll actually, the brand is a good fit. We'll launch the first test for free.
Yeah, it's amazing. And actually, I always think about, if you're not testing and iterating on your product, then you're actually leaving money on the table. Like this, you have to, it's nonstop need to be testing things and working on stuff. And you being kind of merchant facing in all different kind of business roles, like it really depends on the maturity of the business. But as they kind of work their way through, I mean, even like a 1% improvement, literally could cover probably the cost of this service. Like there's going to be a measurable impact. If it's a design change, using heatmap.com to kind of figure all that out. If it's, it's adding on a loyalty program. If it's improving the post-purchase experience. If it's working on the influencer. There's so many things that you could be testing and doing and recommending at the end of the day as a product like this that you can click buy now. You know, every single month, something is actually going to be happening and being reported on and showing the growth and the change. I think it's pretty powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just... It's so much more impactful when you can just do these tests and just point directly to the results of the data with a third party that's like, this thing worked or this thing didn't work, where now it's no longer my opinion versus the founder's opinion. It's like, this is actually making us more money.
Yeah, I'd argue too that a lot of brands, what they do is, unfortunately, they will do a few tests, get some results, and then kind of end it because, everybody's so busy being a marketer, developer, or whatever. There's, even smaller businesses that are doing 5 million with a small, lean team. A lot of times they know the importance of this, but there's lots of other things to deal with where, there's going to be a retention person. There's going to be an email and kind of SMS person as, under the marketing umbrella. But a lot of time, smaller, lean teams, they don't do the tests as often as they should. And I think that's maybe one of the benefits of StoreTester. What you guys are going to be doing is saying, hey, if you're at a certain level, if you're, above a million, but closer to $5 to $10 million, is all of a sudden, this is a very affordable and can be statistically significant by small amount of money to do these ongoing tests month over month, cancel whenever you want to. But at the end of the day, your goal is to say, no, we're going to make some really educated guesses on what we believe the next steps are, because we know what great looks like. There's clearly a lot of great players out there that have product market fit and great design and great on all the great parts of a D2C product. And so knowing that you're month over month, you're going to be keeping implementing these sort of things. And then, just this incrementality of testing and making the change and moving on to the next test, I think is a service that's definitely needed in our space for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a $5 million a year brand and you change your website and it makes the conversion rate 1% better, that will pay for the service for the year. And I can even break that down a little bit further. And I'm not talking about going from 2% to 3%. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying going from 2% to 2.02%.
Right.
That much of a change can make you $50,000 a year. Right.
Yeah.
And so like a 1% swing is like doesn't seem like much, but this all iteratively adds up over time. And that's just your conversion rate. A lot of brands need to work on their average order value. Mm-hmm. A lot of and then you said design. A lot of this, some of this is design, but a lot of this is strategy and consumer psychology. Mm-hmm. A lot of conversion rate optimization comes down to fear, uncertainty, and doubt that the product will solve the problem that the customer landed on your website looking to solve.
Right.
So it's beyond move this button here, change this layout here. A lot of simplification can happen and help with CRO, but then it's to what are the benefits to the customer? What are the uniqueness of this product and the feature set that are really going to drive benefits to the end consumer?
Right. This is amazing. I've scrambled on a lot of notes. Thank you for that. I mean, it's a good episode when you write down a lot of notes, like life of learning. We're definitely aligned on a lot of things about the migrations, the redesign. Went through a lot of things today, and this whole optimization side, tech stack, I'm all in on a lot of the ones that you've recommended. A lot of these will be in today's show notes and stuff like that. So you'll be able to check a lot of these out. And store tester, you know, so anybody listening now, what do you think our final kind of call to action is today? So people are listening today. They're saying, hey, maybe electric eyes for me is you know, in a redesign or a migration, or hey, maybe storetester.com could be an opportunity for my existing business to kind of help a CRO. I'm going to pass the torch to you and saying, what do you want our listeners to do next if they believe that maybe there's fit for you or the agency or maybe your offer?
Yeah. For all of those things, I don't know if I'll have Store Tester's funnel done and set up by the time this comes out. So you might go there and it might just send you over to the same contact form that's on the Electric Eye website. But just go to electriceye.io, hit contact, fill that out, and schedule a call with me. You're going to be talking to me unless I'm on vacation. But it's as simple as that. And I mean, if you're reaching out about a migration, we'll do kind of a whole concierge migration consultation for you and really go deeper on some of this work and kind of just do that on the house to show you what you're actually looking at here and really level set with you there. On the redesign side of things, that's our bread and butter. We can, you know, definitely dive in deep there and give you some good thoughts. And then with Store Tester, we're looking for some cool brands to beta test. We will launch the first test for free. So reach out and let me know you're interested.
And I know on your website, you had a really good ebook about how to improve, I think, revenue and different things like that. So I'm not sure where that link is. I remember seeing it pop up somewhere, but maybe we'll put that. Can you give us some details on that little ebook you put together?
Yeah, it's right here next to me, actually. It's called Double Your Sales. And I wrote it back in 2022. And I'm actually going to be updating it now with basically the whole thing's going to double in size because I'm going to go super, super deep into CRO on the next version of it. So right now it's called Double Your Sales, and it's kind of premises take the guesswork out of scaling your e-commerce brand with a simple proven process. Okay. Same process we still use and talk about a lot, but it kind of just distills your online store down into three simple KPIs: your conversion rate, your average order value, and your sessions per month.
Okay.
Because the secret here is you take all three of those, you multiply them together. That's how much money you made in the last month. And then you just make a plan to optimize them.
Right at the top of the website. So if you go to electriceye.io, you'll see a little kind of a ticker cruising along the top there. I know it's going to be updated, but there's a little link there, 48-page guide to really help you scale your brand. So that's certainly step number one. This podcast, obviously, you know, very eye-opening for everybody listening, including myself. So I think there's lots of opportunity depending on where you are in your journey of your business. But there's nothing wrong with kind of getting more information and learning, and Chase is available. Make sure, also just got to throw it out back to you that, you know, you have Honest E-Commerce, the podcast, so you can go to Apple or Spotify and kind of subscribe there. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's some really good notable players in our space that, and you're one of them. Even on my own website, I have a link to your podcast because I think there's a lot of ecosystem podcasts and yours is one of them kind of in my network that I have a list of, you know, along with Kurt Elster, the Unofficial Shopify, and Nick and Moyes over at Limited Supply. And there's quite a few. There's some great, great, great podcasts out there. Yours is one of them. So I want to make sure that I throw that out. But Chase, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know this is 3 years later, but we got to do this kind of an annual thing because there's so much going on and you give so much insight. And I really appreciate your time.
Oh, I had a blast. I feel like I overshared and people are going to be like, this guy's a nerd.
That's good though, right? And we're here to help people. And you got a lot of case studies on your website too. So clearly you work with some great brands and it's been very successful. And so I want to wish you continued success and thanks so much for coming on the show.
I had a blast. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, take care. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.